Cookbook writer Julia Tertian wrote, "Now and again, go-to recipes, inspired menus, plus endless ideas for reinventing leftovers with three goals in mind. One is to instill the idea that making a full meal doesn't have to be difficult and/or expensive. Second, leftovers are actually a doorway to really fun and inventive cooking. And lastly, to give readers all of the inspiration and information to gather people around the table, because that is the best part of home cooking." Julia Tertian is the best-selling author of Feed the Resistance, named the best cookbook of 2017, and Small Victories, named one of the best cookbooks of 2016 by the New York Times and NPR. Again, the name of the new book is Now and Again, and we welcome Julia Tertian to the roundtable this morning. Julia, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So what brought you to want to look at a book that ultimately reinvents leftovers?
What brought me to it was my love of leftovers. I have loved leftovers my whole life, and I wanted to do a book just about reinventing them. And then I realized I had a bit of an issue of you know, where the food came from in the first place. So it became a bigger book of menus and then ways to reinvent all the leftovers from all of those, you know, wonderful meals.
Leftovers get a bad rap, don't they?
They do, unfortunately.
There's the classic George Carlin line, which is that leftovers make you feel good twice. First, when you put them in the refrigerator, you say, "I'm saving food." And 3 weeks later, when they have hair growing out of them and you throw them out, you say, "I'm saving my life."
I'll have to remember that one.
So you're trying to avoid that. You're trying to us to get them before the hair is growing out of them.
Yeah, definitely. I would say for sure. And I think really reframing leftovers' reputation and, you know, really empowering home cooks to think of them as a jumping off point and as an invitation to really creative and very fast cooking, because, you know, you're already more than halfway there.
In other words, plan that you're going to have this meal and then that you can use it again. As you say, now and again, you can use it now and then you'll be able to use it later.
Exactly. And that comes very much from the fact that I eat pretty much every meal at home. My wife and I live in a very rural area and we don't go out to restaurants very often and there's no takeout. So we cook all of the time and I don't want to start from scratch each and every time. So the way I plan ahead is to just always make more than, you know, we can use in a single meal. And that means that every time I open the fridge, there's something that's just very, very much inviting me to turn it into something totally new. And yeah, to do just what you said, to plan ahead. And it doesn't have to be that stressful. Just, you know, make a little extra.
You make this case in the book that this can be very fun. This can be very inventive as to what to do with what you ate today and what you can do with it tomorrow.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mentioned how much I love leftovers, but I should say I don't love eating the same thing every day. So I think really looking at leftovers is this kind of wonderful, you know, kind of blank canvas that you can create a new painting on. And, you know, you can take something like leftover roast chicken and then turn it into something brand new, like, you know, delicious chicken tacos. You can turn it into a soup. You can, you know, you can make something completely different, but you've already done so much of the work. So, you know, you're starting with a leg up.
When it comes to the book, it's fascinating because you talk about a lot of times the book is set up seasonally, but you talk about a lot of things that come to us from our holiday meals. And there's a lot about that in the book. Give us an idea of how that's a good example of what you're talking about.
Sure. I think, I mean, I should mention the book, just as you said, it's broken up seasonally and there's menus for each season. So to me, some of the most memorable menus that happen every year are, you know, and the most memorable meals are the ones that are around holidays. And I think it's also a good reminder because I think often for holidays, we tend to cook more and there tends to be more leftovers. So a good example would be the Thanksgiving menu in the book, which is I called it a no-stress Thanksgiving because it's a very delicious menu that has all the familiar flavors of Thanksgiving, all the things you look forward to, you know, turkey and stuffing and everything. But all the recipes are very, very simple, and the whole plan to make it just takes away as much stress and anxiety as possible. And then the leftovers, you know, there's nothing wrong with a great Thanksgiving sandwich with everything on it, but the leftovers really send you in new directions. So you can take leftover turkey breast and leftover green beans and, you know, mix them with some sliced cucumbers and serve it cold with a soy and ginger dressing. So you have a completely different thing that feels, you know, just totally not what you had yesterday. There's a recipe for a wonderful roasted squash salad that has radicchio, which is a little bit bitter. And it's such a great salad to make for a holiday meal because you can make it ahead. And then the leftovers for that, it's actually what's on the cover of the book. You stuff that dressed radicchio and squash, so it's a little bit vinegary from the dressing, sweet from the squash, and you stuff that salad into a grilled cheese sandwich, and it takes, you know, a normal grilled cheese, you know, turns up the volume about 100%, and it's yeah. The best sandwich ever.
Yes, you have in that chapter about squash grilled cheese, but also roasted applesauce, which I think is an interesting thing.
Yeah, one of the desserts I suggest for the Thanksgiving menu are just really simple roasted apples that have some maple syrup and pecans on them. It's the easiest dessert. You can make them ahead of time, serve them with vanilla ice cream. It's the satisfaction of, you know, apple pie without any of, you know, the work of making pastry crust or anything like that. And then if you have any leftover apples, you can just mash them up and you have the most delicious roasted applesauce that has all that, you know, depth of flavor from the maple syrup, and it's delicious.
All right, tell me about confetti meatloaf.
The confetti meatloaf is named because it has all these colorful things packed into it, you know, chopped up peppers and sun-dried tomatoes and parsley, and it's really beautiful. And what I love about this recipe is it's one I developed with my wife in mind, and my wife lives with type 1 diabetes, so she can, you know, eat anything, but she really has to be very mindful of carbohydrates and things like that. So this meatloaf is made with ground turkey and ricotta cheese, which adds a little bit of moisture and richness. And there's no breadcrumbs in it, which, you know, I did kind of with that sort of carbohydrate sort of counting in mind. But, you know, it's also great if anyone's gluten-free or anything like that. And it's also great if you have no dietary restrictions. It just tastes really good. And so it's really easy. You just mix all those things together, you know, all those really flavorful things, stick it on a sheet pan and roast it, and it's just delicious, delicious meatloaf.
And then what opportunities does that then provide you? You have this labeled as a perfect meal. So then what opportunities does that provide you down the road?
Well, to me, meatloaf, one of the reasons to make it is to just have enough to make a sandwich the next day. And so I suggest these open-faced meatloaf melts that I love having them on an English muffin. I've always loved meatloaf sandwiches on an English muffin. And spread with some mayonnaise and mustard, and then, you know, put your slice of meatloaf, put some cheddar cheese, run it under the broiler, or just, you know, use a toaster oven. To me, that's just one of the best lunches in the world.
You have toward the end of the book, you have a chapter in here, 7 things to do with leftover wine. 2 questions. Is that a problem in your house?
Is there such a thing?
Right, well, yes, I was wondering that.
So at the end of the book, I provided, in addition to all the menus for each season, all the leftovers and everything, at the end of the book, there's a little section. I kind of think of it as bonus content. It's 7 lists, and each with 7 items on it. So it's, you know, nearly 50 just extra ideas. And one is 7 things to do with leftover wine, which, you know, might not exist in your house. But sometimes it does in mine because my wife, Grace, doesn't drink. So I try not to finish a bottle by myself. But, sometimes I have leftover wine, and I know it is something some other folks have. So I had some creative ideas in there, you know, everything from mixing wine with a little bit of orange juice, actually, and freezing it in an ice cube tray because, you know, alcohol doesn't quite freeze on its own.
Right.
And those ice cubes you can pop into, you know, a Ziploc bag or a container. And then the next time you make a pitcher of sangria, use those instead of ice to chill it. And then as they melt into the mixture, you know, it won't dilute it at all. So that's a really fun thing to do. You can cook spaghetti in leftover wine, and it adds terrific flavor. If you use red wine, it makes it a stunning color. And You know, you can have a pot of what I call drunken spaghetti. you can use leftover wine to poach pears in with some honey and have a delicious dessert. And, you know, there's many more ideas like that, all really simple. And, you know, it lets you use up something that might otherwise, you know, not stay very well if it's just sitting on your counter.
Another one of these lists of these seven things that I really enjoyed, one is what to do with typical takeout leftovers. And this seems to be a common problem. And just because you didn't make it doesn't mean you can't repurpose it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think the whole concept of this book of, you know, reinventing things that might, you know, be sitting in your fridge, absolutely, you don't have to be the one to have made it in the first place. And the ideas in that section range from really simple, which is one idea which I love and I do often, is if we have any leftover French fries, I think the best way to warm them up is to throw a handful on your waffle iron. And close it, and they turn into almost like hash browns, and they're so crispy and delicious. So that's one idea. If you have leftover chicken tikka masala, maybe from an Indian restaurant, if you've ordered takeout or, you know, gone out to eat, I love turning that chicken and that, you know, really luxurious, rich sauce into delicious tacos and top them with like a really easy, just shredded red cabbage with some lime juice and, you know, on a charred corn tortilla. They're delicious, and it's you know, totally new.
And one of the things that is fascinating about this book is that it all seems to me to be relatively easy, right? And none of it is supposed to be taxing.
Absolutely. You know, every recipe in this book was written with really simplicity in mind and, you know, giving you hopefully the best outcome for honestly the least effort. and that comes from the fact that I'm a home cook who writes for other home cooks. So, you know, I don't like to do dishes and I don't want to spend all day preparing a meal that's going to be, you know, consumed in 10 minutes. And so, you know, time and dishes and expense, all the ingredients are, you know, affordable. And I keep all those things in mind because it's really the way I cook at home, and I know it's the way so many people also enjoy cooking at home.
The name of the book, Now and Again, go to recipes, inspired menus, plus endless ideas for reinventing leftovers. The book is by Julia Tertian. It is published by Chronicle Books. Julia, thank you very much for sharing with us. Always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Thanks so much for having me. I love talking about it with you.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is Now and Again, published by Chronicle. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.